Leafs talk. JD Bunkus, Sam McKee from the bunker. The bunker boy. you're just there. You did it from the bunker last year, yeah. And now you're back in the bunker.
It's Christmas time, buddy. I'm on tour.
Where is I know you do the big time tour, but where is this tour? Where's this stop?
I am in I think it's Manverse, Ontario. So it's like just near Peterborough, near Bethany, Ontario.
At the wife's mom's.
Yeah, I'm at my mother-in-law's house, Carol, and with Allie, and we're just watched the game here, had a wonderful lasagna dinner, and now I'm talking to you guys. So I'm literally in the basement, and she put up, you can see there's a little wreath there for our people watching. Like there's a little wreath.
The wreath is a nice touch. The wreath is new in the bunker.
I will tell you, if we took down this drape or whatever it is, all you would see would be legitimate, it would just be, I don't know, oil cans and I don't know what else.
I gotta tell you,
three dogs upstairs. Can you hear the dogs going crazy? It's just full-on Christmas up there.
Can't hear the dogs, but will say that thank goodness for the wreath, because if it wasn't there, it would seem like you were about to start making demands. I would expect you would have the list ready, and nobody wants to see the video pan out. You know, that's the way that video is going to go.
I'm Heath Ledger in the first Batman.
Yes, the Joker. Exactly. location unknown. Yeah, you do not want to know. All right, Leafs head into the holidays with a win. I got to say, it's a pretty easy game to summarize for me. I don't think that the Leafs really came out with some kind of nasty response after getting embarrassed 9-3. I think that Matthews played his ass off tonight. And I think that the difference in this game was that the Leafs have superstar players that made some superstar plays, and the Columbus Blue Jackets failed to capitalize on the chances they had because they don't have those superstar players.
I actually, I come out of it feeling pretty similar to that, obviously. But, I think the Blue Jackets, for as much as, we make fun of them and how bad they were in parts of the game tonight, I do think they have a bit of a future here with some of those young guys that they have on their team. They can score. And I thought in that first period, for the first 15 minutes or so of the first period, they really did a good job of getting shots on net. And I thought Martin Jones did a really nice job for them. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with him tonight. So, unbelievable Matthews here. So what's he up to? 28 goals in 31 games, right? They're flashing up the stats on Sportsnet tonight. Are we having real 50 and 50 conversations here now? Is this a real possibility?
50 and 50, I haven't really talked about, but I do think that he's going to break 60, which is his career high. And I think that I think that the hunt for 65, the OV number, is very real. And I was mentioning, I think I already mentioned this on Leafs Talk even, but I did it on my pod for sure, is now he is, after tonight, slightly ahead of Ovechkin's goal pace throughout his career, right? Yeah, we talked about this. And
for sure.
I do think that if he was able to hit 65 this year, 66, right, past the Ovi career high, it would start the conversation of, well, what's the realistic expectation for this guy's career?
Yeah, and I think the expectation for his career, I don't really know where to go with that, but I actually am kind of focusing on 50 and 50.
Yeah.
It really does feel like it's possible now, because he had that stretch over, was it his 60 goal season before, when everyone who wasn't a Toronto guy got bent out of shape because he scored 51 and 50, but it wasn't at the start of the year. Remember that? Where he got really hot and it was and everyone got all sour because it wasn't at the start of the year. And it was people would be it doesn't actually matter. It doesn't.
Well,
I
agree with those psychos in a way.
I agree. I do. I 100% do. But
I do know what you're talking about, because I remember I was part of those people being this is such a, only Leafs fans would ever do technically he got 50 and 50, if that happened to a Columbus Blue Jacket per se, we would never even hear about it, even if it was somebody great.
So I actually do think that this conversation could start here now, because he's three goals behind the pace of scoring, a goal in every single game he's played, and he scores in bunches. He could have had two more tonight and he scored two. All it takes is for him to get 1-4 goal game or 1-3 goal game here, and he's right on pace. And it's that's a crazy thing to say about a guy in the NHL, but it's very obvious he's able to do it. I am officially starting the watch tonight. Okay. Is that fair? Are you going to make fun of me for doing that?
But I'm making
officially
fun of you.
Starting 50 and 50 watch.
I'm not making fun of you. I think I'll say that for me, I'll be the sour Sammy. Or, okay. It doesn't work if I'm sour Sammy when your name is Sam. I'll be the sour Sal. I don't know.
Sour Susie.
Yeah, whatever. I think it's way too early. I think it's too early because you just said it. He still needs a 3-goal night to get on pace, right?
Yeah.
And like, how are we doing this also? Because it does start the season. Do you have to play all the games? Because he missed that one, right? That broke the point streak. So it's like, is it the Leafs' first 50 games that he has to hit it in? Or is it just his first 50 games of the season that he has to hit it
in? No, I think it's just his. That's a great point, but I think it's just his first 50 games, right?
Okay, so then let's just say it's his first 50 games. He still has to have a hat trick just to be technically on the pace, right? And then he's got to go to...
Yeah, go ahead. What? I was just going to say he's playing the Sens on Wednesday, which is his favorite team to score against. I think he has 20, like easily could get a hattie on Wednesday and we're right back into my watch.
Sure.
This is why it's a watch. He scores 2 goals every single game.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say is that if he keeps doing this for another, okay, let's put it this way. For me, if they come out of this, that January 2-3, that's when I come back to Leafs talk after that stretch. Okay. Yes. So I come back for the Saturday Leafs talk, and he is a goal or two below the pace, that's five more games. I think you can start the watch. But even still, it's a multi-goal games all the time. He's doing it. He looks great. He looks healthy. He's snapping around. I think that the conversation, though, off this is that he gets put back with Mitch tonight. And I'll admit it. I was annoyed. Like when
of
the
course.
Game, yeah.
How could you not be?
All right. Thank you for agreeing. Because my eyes when they stepped out on the ice and then Craig Simpson started talking about them back together, like my eyes rolled back into my skull and I was like, "Are we doing this?" And did you see the Sheldon clip before the game?
I was offline. What did he say? Okay. I was offline all day. So
I wrote it down because I'm not even going to misquote him because, you know, sometimes we paraphrase and then some of the crybabies in the chat are like, that's not the spirit of what he said or that's not what he said.
Yeah.
I'm going to nail it. Okay. Quote, not a huge contributor to those goals, end quote, of Keefe on Nylander with Matthews' recent goal scoring streak.
I mean, how long of a goal scoring a point streak does Nylander have? Doesn't he have how many points does he have?
I just thought that it was bold quote from Sheldon Keefe. And he's lucky that it's right before the holidays where the media couldn't run with this. Like, we're going to be the only show that talks about.
Buddy, I was like, he could have said, you know, anything today.
Yeah.
And your boy was missing it. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. Everybody missed it. But before the game, when he was asked about splitting them up, he said that he didn't think Nylander was a meaningful contributor on the goal scoring that Matthews has had recently. And he put him back with Marner after that game. And I just thought, boy, that is a red hot quote that if that gets dropped on a Monday, that's leading every single show on Tuesday. And everybody's tearing him apart at the seams for having that quote one way or the other. But Sheldon Keefe had to be feeling great because I got to tell you, man, the first goal of the game, let's roll this sucker, sis. It's a great job by Matthews creating space and like finding the shooting lane. But I just love it's like a bad turnover by Columbus, right? Like it's really not pretty. But just beautiful patience by Mitch, who knows that Domi was going off on a change and just waited it out, didn't try to shovel something towards the net, like doesn't try to feed it into the slot and make some tough play. It just knows that, hey, the best goal scorer on the planet is on my team. I'm going to wait for him to get into his position. Don't worry. I know I'll be able to make this pass. And he makes that pass look like, you know, just like the easiest thing in the entire universe, puts it right on the tape. Beautiful pass. So good play by Mitch.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty predictable. Like, these two guys get together in their first couple games. They're just like, oh, my God, we're so excited to be back together. And they just, like, get horned up right away. Yeah. And they look unbelievable. It happens every time.
Yeah.
It happens every time these guys get reunited after their little, like, sabbaticals, after their little you-know-what whacks where they're like, we're splitting you up. And Keith's like, it's time to roll those dice, baby. Yeah. It's the dice move time. And he flips those wingers, and those boys see the lineup, and they're like, yes, let's go. And they get so excited about it. And they looked – I thought it was Marner's best game in a really long time tonight. He just looked energized. In all zones. Like, I thought Matthews' defensive work tonight was unbelievable, as well as his offensive work. And same with Marner. Marner was really good on the penalty kill, I thought, tonight. Really good defensively. It's just, it inspires these guys. The first couple games they get back together, they are really, really dynamic. And you just wish it would be like that all the time. But like, the longer it goes when they play together, they get a little bit more aloof, and you have to do this again and flip it around. So I guess that's just what it is. Like, and I guess that's just the world we're going to have to live in, where once in a while those wingers are going to get flipped, and that's just the way it goes. Like, I guess that's just how we have to live.
You want to talk about the way it works is, if you can get the Marner from last year and the Matthews from this, then your 50 and 50 watch is totally on. Because that was the Marner. Yes. That was the Marner from last year. It actually, I got to say, I was a little almost annoyed that the rest of the Leafs didn't play with that same kind of energy, because Matthews said that that Buffalo game was one of the most embarrassing that he's been a part of. And then he came out and he and Marner had real jump. Like, they got reunited and they were awesome together all night. Attention to detail, tough on the puck, just everything all night long. And I just thought the rest of the Leafs were pretty passive against Columbus. Like, I agree with you that that Jackets team has a real jump to them. Like, there's energy that they play with, right? And skill, I think that they were probably
fast.
Yeah. But they're just like a bit of a gritty team, right? Like, they've got some guys. They've got some guys that excite you and that are pretty quick. And you saw them catch the Leafs off guard. That Dundas kid, right? It's Dundas? He's got some Toronto sports.
Well, no, Danforth.
Danforth. That's
Danforth.
It was Dundas. Yeah, I was like, he's got Toronto.
That kid, Ossington?
Yeah, Ossington. Yeah, I was like, he's some kind of Toronto name. He caught him a couple of times in this game. Like, he caught
fast.
Him flat-footed. He can move. Like, I was impressed by him. So part of it is the tenacity of Columbus, and I want to give them credit for that. But I didn't think that, for the most part, the rest of the Leafs lineup was really finding a way to match that intensity. Those guys were thinking, like, I don't care, we lost to the Sabres this way. We're going into the holidays, and we are just holiday Christmas checked baby. Out. Yeah, like, our stars sniped some goals, and we're going to take some bad penalties, some lazy penalties. We're not really going to skate too hard. We're not going to check too hard. I don't want to be in the hospital over Christmas. I want to be at my house.
Two fourth line offensive zone penalties is not something the coach likes. Like, that, such a lazy penalty by McMahon with the grab, lazy penalty, and then Gregor with the brutal one in the third period when it was still a two goal game, right? You put him on the power play, and that's what I think maybe it was the Domi one that they ended up scoring the shorty on. But the one where he just grabs onto the stick, he's tired, he just makes a stupid choice, and they get him, obviously, it was a clear penalty. It's like, what? You can't have your fourth line taking two separate offensive zone penalties. So yeah, I wanted to ask you, because I just mentioned that Domi thing before I forget. What's the rule on that? He was falling and the stick got knocked out of his hands. And as he was, like, the stick was out of his hands, it hit the guy in the face. It's like, that's still a high stick. Like, it's like not in your hands. You don't possess it.
I know, but I think you're supposed to, it's your stick. You're supposed to have control of your stick.
Yeah, it confused me. I was like, it's a weird one. You don't see that one very often. But he was like on the ice with his hands and knees on the ice, and his ghost stick is high sticking him, and he gets two. Yeah. He looked confused. Although he always looks confused with that big, stupid smile, no teeth. He never looks like a real road scholar out there, but he looked confused.
Yeah, no, I think you got to have control of your stick at all times. If it gets knocked out of your hands, if it's up in the air, then it's like, oh, that's your fault. You should have held on to it. Although it's weird, because if you drop your stick and it trips somebody, it's not like a tripping penalty.
Yeah. Like, so I don't know. So it's a weird one, but I generally agree with your assessment, though, that I thought, you know, that goal that Tavares scores tonight, that's a really beautiful goal. But the big, like, Marner and Matthews carried them. I even thought Knies on their own line was a little bit of a passenger. Like, he couldn't keep up with those guys.
I thought he couldn't keep up. I don't want to do this tonight because it's not really a thing, but yeah, like, it's just like, you see the young player in Knies where it's like, it happens once in a while, like, it happens once every three nights where you go, man, he's a bull. And then the next two nights you're like, where is he? And I just think that's growing pains. But Tavares' goal, do you think that's the nicest one of his career? We got the other one that we talked about, but do you think that's the nicest one just aesthetically? Because that was pretty... This is pretty nasty. So here's the spinorama.
Yeah, beautiful.
Interesting thing about tonight, too. Leafs, I think two of their first three goals, Columbus had grade A chances, and then they immediately get turned. Like, this one for sure. Columbus had a big chance at the other end. They could have made it 2-1 Columbus. And instead, it comes down the ice, and it's Tavares who ends up sniping one. But yeah, this is all feel. And he knew it was sexy goal. because he's not a big time celebrator, and he wanted a bigger celebration from the teammates from that one. He celebrated a goal that didn't go in the other night, and then he really kind of was it was a breakaway where it just misses the net, and then this comes and it's Tavares gains his own.
Focus on Johnny Gaudreau here. Just can you roll it one more time and just watch the how much does he make a year? Watch the effort here.
Yeah.
Fire Poker City. Yeah. Like, get on the stick, man. Lift the stick. Have a stride. Yeah. Oh, my God. Gabranson gets put into the spin cycle, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But come on, Gaudreau. Like, that's like, have a little shame, buddy. You're making, what's he making, 10 mil? Dude, look at this. Imagine Willie did this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. But, yeah, it was a gorgeous goal. And it's not the nicest of his Leafs career. The nicest of his Leafs career was definitely against Philadelphia. Your boy was in the building. Also that night, Mark Giordano did the big time wrestling jump somebody. I don't even remember who it was that he jumped, but he jumped somebody. It was crazy. But that was an incredible game. And he walked Sanheim, I don't know if it was connecting. I forget who it was, but it was a crazy night and the whole crowd was chanting GO. And it was another night where I think Matthews smiled in a scrum.
I think Mike Rupp took it for that one. He gave the
yes, it was. Rupper went wild with that.
Rupp went hot, and then Leafs Nation went nuts. Yeah. And I was quietly like, I agree. Oh, yeah.
I 100%.
I was with the uncles.
The next day, Kipper's like, we got to get Rupper on. Yeah. I'll track him down.
Hey, do we have that Philly goal, sis? Because I'd like to watch that one again.
I can remember him walking Sanheim.
No, we didn't.
Walking Sanheim along the right-hand boards, going to the front of the net, cutting it into the middle, tries to stuff it, and then it gets a rebound and shoots it up top. I was standing up in the very high section. I almost fell out of my seat. I had vertigo. I was so high up in the seats. Didn't really spend a ton of the tickets that night. But it was a great goal, yeah. But he was, nice one for Tavares for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, all the stars get some. They all get their cookie against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then, I don't really think I have any much else from this game. Because,
I do. Tavares,
what else you got?
Well, I got to give a ton of credit to Martin Jones because, everyone knows what this is. This is not a long-term solution. This is not a guy that's, going to find it here. He's not going to be a guy that's Martin Jones at 34, 920 save percentage, leading this team into a deep playoff run. Like, he's obviously not going to be that. We all understand that. But this is a really important time when they need goaltending. They're starting goaltender. Legitimately, every time they flash over to him on the bench, I'm like, oh my God, is he okay? The look on his face, he looks dejected. And it's just this guy is a gritty old veteran that they're throwing in there and he's giving them an honest effort. And this is how many wins does he have now for them? Is it this is third win for them? It's like they third, yeah, because he finished the Ottawa game.
I don't know if he gets the win for that, but yeah.
Beats the Rangers, beats Pittsburgh with a shutout, and then beats Columbus. So I it's 3.5 wins. Mm-hmm. But he was really solid tonight in the first period. I thought Columbus could have had 2 or 3 in the first period alone. And he was just a steadying presence. And listen, like I said, he's never going to be a reclamation project where he finds it and leads you to a cup or anything. But just as far as depth guys, veteran goalies coming in and just giving him a solid effort, I give him full credit, man. It's been a great little stretch here for them. They need him to keep going, obviously. Friedge was talking that they're shopping in the goaltender market in the second intermission there. I heard him talking about it in his Grady Dick jacket that he was wearing tonight. But I'm really, really happy for Jones. He's been good so far.
Yeah, absolutely has been. And I thought it was a bit of a stretch the other night. I saw on the panel they did what's Tree Living's best move, and Elliot did. It's the extra 100K that they built into Jones's contract if anybody claimed him off waivers.
Yeah.
When they said
that was creative, but I think that's a bit of a stretch, but a creative move.
But it's a really good move. And I do think that it's one that we're going to point to later in the year. If the Leafs end up clinching the one seed, which again should be the goal, right? Did the Bruins lose tonight? Bruins were losing.
They did.
They lost. Nice.
I think they lost. Yep.
So, it's definitely too early for 50-50. It's definitely too early for standings watch, but I really think it's crucial for the Leafs to win the Atlantic this year. That would be a real statement about who they are. And I think it would really change the mindset going to the playoffs. Don't you think they're just like, imagine they have to go in the first round and they play Florida or Boston the first round again this year. Like it's just,
they're going to, they can beat the Bruins. They can't beat Florida. Florida will beat the Leafs. I'm telling you right now, the Leafs have a genuine fear of that team. And like, you can talk about how it's like, oh, the reckless, like they got punched in the mouth last year and they're going to come, like, they're deep defensively.
Yeah,
they're
gritty.
They scare me. They're the antithesis of what the Leafs are. They are not a good matchup for the Leafs.
Yeah, that's
like truly. It's the worst matchup maybe in the league for the Leafs, the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
So if you can avoid that matchup until like the second round, or God forbid the third round potentially.
Well, just imagine
that would be very good.
And the Panthers had to play each other in the first round. How good would you feel about that? Like, just do that. Like, do that thing. That's why it's like, take the regular season seriously.
That's what happened this year.
What?
That's what happened this past year, and it didn't go.
Yeah,
so
I guess.
Well, so.
Yeah, it's true. That did happen.
That literally happened.
Yeah, imagine it happened. No, but it's the Panthers didn't have our respect then. We were casuals. We're not familiar with Panthers game.
I said, "Give me the Cats, meow."
Oh yeah,
and Brandeo still plays it on the show.
You and I were basically the guys that were down at Young and Dundas chanting without the tarps on. We couldn't have been more of those guys. I agree. I think Martin Jones has been great. I thought he was solid again tonight. Nothing insane, but just a quality start, which is what you need on most nights. But I did think that a large part of tonight was Columbus just not being able to finish, though. Like, I will admit, like, they had some great opportunities, and it was just, miss after miss after miss, and then a couple of them bit them in the ass. We're off.
Hey, quick last thing I wanted to mention. Thing I want to mention before we go. That Crowley thing was scary, eh?
Yeah,
at the start of the
now
first
we
period,
have DeMar, we live in DeMar Hamlin world.
Of course, that's what everyone thought immediately. That's what I thought immediately, because he got hit right in the chest, and I was like, oh my God, no. Like, I really did have the feeling, but he's okay now, apparently. Went to the health center to get precautionary checkup, but I guess he's okay. But God, it's like that, you know, that I was a little bit spooked there at the end of the first. And it was weird they had to come back. It's like, can we just run that 18? Like, we had to come back and do the 18 seconds at the start. It was funny, but anyways.
It was weird. I'm glad he's all right, and it's funny to say this now because we know he's all right, but I genuinely had this ref is praying more than anyone that he's all right, that didn't blow the play dead, and was just like letting him go.
For
sure. It's an innocuous play, and he's not really thinking about it. But in slow motion and after the fact, you know, it looked like a crime, you know, when he's like slouched down. And I went, boy.
How about old Nationwide getting Jerry the paramedic from across the rink? Could you have him down by the rooms? Like, what is that? It's like, what you gotta get he's like trying to slide across the ice.
I
the
thought he was gonna fall
come over and grab him.
He looked like he was not aware that the teams played on ice and that was even gonna be like a possibility that he had to do that night. Like, when he showed up, he was like, this is hockey. This is the ice. Okay, I gotta get over there. I'm glad he's all right, but DeMar Hamlin has totally changed the way that we view sports 100%. And the way we feel about it. And especially when they're like, call the period, and it's, you know, a guy slouching and falling down. That's scary stuff, man. Like, makes you think about Rich Peverly, makes you think about DeMar Hamlin. I'm thrilled that he's all right. We are off the next three games, us three. Joe's already off.
So we're off for those three games against Ottawa Wednesday, and then it's Columbus again on Friday, and then Carolina on the Saturday.
Buddy, and then missing another Columbus game.
Oh my God. People don't even want to watch another Columbus game. Like, who would even watch our show?
I was going to say, there's the third Columbus game, you know, we should just take that off every year. Like, no matter what.
Why do they play Columbus three times?
I don't know. But and especially packed in this quick. It's like the week I come back, I'm doing two Sharks games in a row. It's great. Thanks for that schedule, gods. It's just two Sharks games. I'm back for Sharks. But we're off for three. We're taking a break. Mm-hmm. We're taking a holiday break. Everybody's got to do their thing. We're sorry that we're not going to be doing this stuff. I think obviously if something crazy happens in Leafs land, we'll do some kind of emergency pod. So subscribe to the feed. This is a good time for the YouTube people that don't subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Do that anyway. Leave 5 stars. That'd be a great Christmas gift to us. And then, yeah, Sammy will be back on Jan 2 and Jan 3, and then I'll be back with him on January 6th. And then same goes for the JD Bunkus podcast, if you're a listener of that as well. Hey, also, thank you for watching these and listening to the show. All right? Like,
yeah, man.
I know we do it at the end of years, but I'm in the holiday spirit, and I just will say that I'm very touched, as always, you know, how many of you actually watch this thing. Less touched by how many of you hit the thumbs up. Again, it's like the... Those of you that don't, it is what it is, I guess. but those of you that do, I appreciate you, and especially the ones who subscribe and watch the podcast. But yeah, I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, is nice and safe, and yeah, adds a couple LBs.
Oh, buddy, I'm terrified. Like, I'm already getting that winter weight, and I'm like, oh boy, had a big old lasagna tonight, ham tomorrow, heading up to the sound for just a big old Marion Alton turkey carbo load. Just a disaster. I'm gaining 10 for sure. I'm going to have to get on the bike when I get home.
Dude,
get on
the Peloton. I was crushing it, and I got sick the week before Christmas.
That's a bad move. Because you got to go the hardest that week. That's the hardest week.
That's what I'm saying, is like, now I'm going into Christmas like
fat.
Full of Uber Eats, full of just soup and sleep and not moving, and that's not a good. I'm coming back. People are gonna recognize me on here. Like they're gonna be like, who's that guy?
I can start in the Whale. Is that Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, it's not gonna be a pretty look. Anyways, we love all of you. Have a happy holidays,
pleasure.
Happy New Year, and we'll see you on the other side.